Indeed.
Bhagavata.
Stretching out for length.
Sayanaha.
Lying fully stretched.
Bahu.
Great.
Chintaya.
With concern.
Sarge.
The creation.
Anupacite.
Not proceeded.
Krodhat.
Out of anger.
Utsasarja.
Gave up.
Ha.
In fact.
Tat.
That.
Vapu.
Body. Translation.
Once Brahma lay down with his body stretched at full length. He was very concerned that the work of creation had not proceeded apace, and in a sullen mood he gave up that body too. No purport, so we're going. Oh dear Vidura, the hair that dropped from that body transformed into snakes. And even while the body crawled along with his hands and feet contracted, there sprang from it ferocious serpents and nagas with their hoods expanded. We're going. One day, Brahma, the self-born, the first living creator, felt as if the object of his life had been accomplished. At that time, he involved from his mind the Manus, who promote the welfare activities of the universe. One more. The self-possessed creator gave them his own human form. On seeing the Manus, those who had been created earlier, the demigods, the Gandharvas, and so on, applauded Brahma, the Lord of the universe. Here we have translation and purport. They prayed, O creator of the universe, we are glad. What you have produced is well done. Since realistic acts have now been established soundly in the human form, we shall all share the sacrificial oblations. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The importance of sacrifice is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, verse 10. The Lord confirms that in the beginning of creation, Brahma created the Manus along with the ritualistic sacrificial method and blessed them. Quote, continue these sacrificial rituals or rites and you will be gradually elevated to your proper position of self-realization and will also enjoy material happiness. All the living entities created by Brahma are conditioned souls and are inclined to lord it over material nature. The purpose of the sacrificial rituals is to revive gradually the spiritual realization of the living entities. This is the beginning of life within this universe. These sacrificial rituals, however, are intended to please the Supreme Lord. Unless one pleases the Supreme Lord, or unless one is Krishna conscious, one cannot be happy either in material enjoyment or in spiritual realization. So we Remember how Brahma is creating the material universe. Even before, he hears the sound vibration to pop. This is very significant for many reasons. One primary reason is significant is that it shows us that the material creation is initially created from the encouragement of the reflection and meditation on tapasya. It is through tapasya that the material energy comes into manifestation. It is also through tapasya that one is able to leave the material creation. There is no ultimate success without focusing the mind and the senses, regulating the senses, voluntarily engaging in restricting the vegas, the senses, from being responding to the vegas, pushes, vacha vega, manasa, krodha vega, jiva vega, udara pasta vega. That living entity is constantly being agitated. That is all a part of being in the material body in the material world. But in the modes of ignorance, in the modes of passion, there is so much surrendering to the vegas, so much being controlled by the vegas. More goodness and transcendental state. One gradually is Chaitanya Bhava Arjuna, rising above until we come to the point where we're literally unaffected. But interesting, Brahma hears Tupa, he begins to make all the necessary arrangements for establishing material universe. And he first begins to build up material creation from the ingredients of nations. So the whole material world is first brought into existence from the nations factors, ahankara, false ego, body misconception, etc. He also brings in the impious sons, and later the knowledge factors of yoga, of shanka, of vairagya. But later. So the basic patterns of material energy are patterns of separation. Basic mode of activity, normative mood that people are functioning under is under this bhumiyapanalovaya kama buddha eva chan ahankatyami vinapakriti yashta. All of these separated energies. No wonder sinful activities are so dominant. No wonder people become confused about what is vidyasa. No wonder that the demons have often a field day. No wonder the demons are so often engaged in rituals for bringing about degradation and incarceration. It is the nature of the demons. Asavam bhavam asvata. The demons, big demons, they're actively engaged in not only despising and hating Krishna, but also trying to encourage others to do similar. They're actively involved in creating a culture of nations. And devotees are actively involved in creating a culture where we're understanding what is Atmavijaya, understanding what ultimately is necessary for self-realization. And so this kind of struggle is always going on. Like some people are so focused on today as a very unusual day. Every day is unusual in one sense, as every day is a chance to become more Krishna conscious. Every day is a day to be reminded that, again, we're in a material body. And every day is a day to remind ourselves that being in a material body means that we have consciously turned our back on Krishna's leading. We have consciously turned away from being a part of the eternal kingdom of divine loving relationships and exchanges. And so, temporarily, we are becoming expert masters of material nature. The more we become so expert in mastering materiality, to one extent, the more we have been captured, bound, incarcerated by the illusion, by the temporary figure. So often it takes many, many lifetimes, one begins to really question, what exactly is life? One begins to question, what is the purpose of life? One begins to question, why am I suffering and what do I need to do to eradicate or be free from this suffering? But in most cases, where there is so much impiety, instead of one going outside of the activities of the mode of material nature, one just reshuffles the patterns that are included in the Mahatan. No wonder people become also bored, frustrated. No wonder people are even sometimes committing suicide. Because they're constantly trying to find some solutions and they're basically dealing with the same stuff. 24, 26 material ingredients. The Mahatattva. And so they can only shuffle so many arrangements and after a while they begin to realize nothing has really changed. And somewhere so, they start pursuing the royal path of bhakti. And then even some of those souls who start pursuing such path, then sometimes they again get distracted by the patterns of material nature. So Brahma then, he himself gets distracted. Shows you how intense material energy is. That even Brahma, who is bringing this show into bear, that he gets overwhelmed sometimes, at some point, by some of the patterns of nesha. First, we remind ourselves, this is the kingdom of nations. So the rare thing, the amazing thing, is that some souls get out of it. Some souls change the mentality from accepting these things. Just as Prabhupada once mentioned, it's not so unusual that someone may fall prey to Maya, someone may deviate. But what is unusual is that some souls do not. It's not unusual for someone to be swept as one is in the river and the current is going down. Not so unusual for someone or something to drift down with the current. And this is exactly what happens if a person is not being rigid. The person, not rigid in terms of fanatical, but if one is not being focused, determined, if one is not latching on properly, then what happens is the person gets swept by the normal karma of material energy. Just as we look at the time now on the planet. And the karma of the planet is quite inauspicious. We look at the wars and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the famines and the droughts and so many, many different things happening. That is due to so much sinful activity. So anyone who is trying to be normal will simply be swept up by the patterns as the current is drifting in such direction. And anyone who is trying to be normal in an insane world really has a problem. Just as if someone is trying to be normal in a mental institution, normality is insanity. So we are not so intimidated or embarrassed to be different. We are glad to be different as we are surrounded by insanity. As a matter of fact, to the degree that we do not feel different, we may even act in some ways almost similar, but to the degree that one does not actually genuinely feel different in consciousness means that that is a sign that the person is so much like the mundane pattern of sense gratification culture. In our duties and our services, we often have to interact in so many ways with children. So many ways where there is all types of contamination. If we are feeling comfortable in such environments, then that is a sign that the quality of our devotion is not very high. When the devotion and one's mentality is different, then those things that are so inappropriate, or those things that are so much of the lower mode, one will feel so much incoherent. One will feel so much unaligned to such. But to the degree that we are embracing, absorbing ourselves, and even sometimes admiring and wanting to emulate the patterns of sense gratification, then that brings in some questions about the depth of our realization and the potency of our bhakti. Doesn't mean that devotee is to be intimidating. Devotee is to be condescending. It's not our duty to look down on people. Sometimes we make the categorization, demons, come. Our duty is to try to constantly be the bhakta and live very strong the bhakti. And in this way, we see each opportunity as a chance to glorify Krishna, as a chance to serve, as a chance to see how we can help facilitate, rather than just having this sort of mood of cynicism or the mood of disgust, where one is not ready to serve. Now, Prabhupada explains to a certain extent one must feel disgusted with material energy in order to leave it. Because to the degree that we are finding so many things so wonderful, then we have to take another life to experience it. We're thinking, well, I have to become very popular. Then Krishna will arrange there is a life to aspire for self. I want to be very beautiful. I want to be very rich. Those things are such a priority beyond seva, our service and devotion, then we will get facility for such. And again, after experiencing, we begin to see, well, another life of material energy. Nothing is so wonderful about that. So Brahma was instructed, give up the body. Was he instructed to go ahead and commit suicide? No. Kill someone else? Homicide? Destroy it all? The Christians have a small idea about this idea. Be born again. This is when we take Brahma initiation. We engage in the yajna and the sacrifices there. Officiousness is created, and one is being given the chance now to become Brahman by being given Brahman thread and the Gayatri mantra. And so the idea is that those patterns in the past that were unhealthy, put them behind us. And we step out now in new life. But this is the conception of dying to live. We die in a sense that we give up the body. We give up those improper patterns, we give up those improper attachments, we give up those improper aspirations, and now we engage in transformation. Ramdas Tunavajit. conversion. Lord, to the higher. So, yesterday we were mentioning how sometimes Krishna arranges that one has to make some abrupt situation or change before able to receive. And we explained about Rari the hunter. I had to break his bow. Then he was giving so much wonderful blessing. All of it was attached. It was his sense of identity. But it was also his sense of identification with material nature. And the devotee of Lord Shiva had to throw away the touchstone. And after throwing away, then, only then, did Sanatana inaugurate him in the holy name. So this was some austerity. This was also some tapasya. Tapasya means we're not masochist statuses. We're not yogis, tapasis, or even jnanis. But tapasya is those things that we are ready to eliminate because they interfere with the devotion. And therefore, things that causes us not to be able to always think of Krishna and serve him, we see those as interferences. And even though they may give some artificial security, temporary pleasure, we're ready to renounce. So, in one sense, the devotee is always trying to look at what to be freed from. And the materialist is constantly thinking of what to attach themselves to control, to own, manipulate, to exploit, to dominate. Much of the process of devotion is the cleansing. Because our normal position, the soul itself, is Satchidananda Vigraha, and it has become acculturated by so many other things, desire, connection, attachment. So now we are trying to understand tactfully what can be used in Krishna's service and what things are destructive to our spiritual life. So, the ritual, the yagnas and things of this nature, some scholars, all of these things, the whole process of sadhana bhakti, ninefold process we execute, all of these things is to gradually refocus us, to help us to reclaim what we have forgotten, to help us to reclaim what we have minimized, to help us to be clear of what is to be done, what is to be avoided. And so we have Sadhu Sastra, Guru Bhaja, we actually have this process. And we constantly remind ourselves to check in and to see how it is proper spiritual activity or what it is or not. But the biggest adjustment, and this is what Brahma is doing, is making a change of consciousness. This is the real giving up the body. Giving up the improper subtle body. Subtle body is the mind, intelligence, bhakti, ego. So when mind, intelligence, ego is not properly situated, then it must be adjusted. And so, Brahma was getting some agitation, chasing his own daughter. He also himself was being chased by some of his creations. Amazing. How much your energy is so much fuller of passion, so much full of agitation, so much permeating with anxiety. That is the normal pattern of material energy. So we are trying to transcend, even though all that is going on, we're trying to find ways to rise above. On our own, impossible. Sometimes one begins to think that their mind and their intelligence is able to defeat Maya. But this is Maya's kingdom. Being in the enemy's camp, one is already in a weak position. And Maya has not only many tricks, but Bhagavad Gita says the mind can be the greatest friend or the greatest enemy, and the mind is where so much of Maya hides out. So the greatest friend knows your most intimate weaknesses and strengths and your secrets. A very powerful enemy also knows your weaknesses, your strengths, and certain confidential things about you, but will use the knowledge to attack you. For your friend uses the knowledge to assist you, to be there for you. So Maya, knowing all of this, who can overcome Maya? Only by taking shelter of Maya's fault. Otherwise, it's impossible. So sometimes we do these things so much, these rituals, these yajnas and sacrifices, this process, and we begin to kind of take it for granted. We begin to minimize Maya's potency. So that is dangerous. This is why we have the examples of the great acharyas. Aridasa, of course, is always thinking that he had to finish his round. If he didn't finish his round, he's going to fall into Maya. Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, you're always in the mind, in the mood of where is Radha, where is Krishna? Not I have found Krishna. Krishna is my property. Even though they were eternally liberated. But they were showing us how to really get Krishna. To always feel unworthy, to always have this great loyalty, great greed, and by such, then one will not fall so free. Nobody falls in Maya who does not want to. What does that mean? That means if we really, in the resultant of our consciousness, we have notions, and then we have desires. The notions, they add up, little interests, they add up. Krishna responds to the resultant of how they add up. If they are adding up to wanting to be fixed in devotion, we will always remain fixed. But to the degree that the overwhelming pattern, concern, mindset, if one wants to experience some sense gratification, then Krishna will facilitate. So we fall into Maya when our stronger desire is for the Lord. Otherwise, what is the whole idea of God? It's being merciful and magnanimous and all omniscient, all knowing, controlling all things. If we have no desire, serious desire to fall into Maya, and we are forced into Maya, then therefore Maya is greater than Krishna. We are calling out Krishna genuinely, and he cannot protect us, therefore Maya is stronger. But if we find ourselves in Maya, then it is a sign that there is so much desiring for us. As we were describing last night, we're in Maya. It is a distinct sign that we are lazy and we are lacking sufficient compassion. Lazy because all the answers are there throughout the scriptures. When we are reading Bhagavad Gita, it's non-different than Krishna speaking. Just as he is speaking to Arjuna, he's speaking to us. When we are reading Bhagavatam, we're having a chance to sit. It's like Maharaj Pariksit. It's not the same word, same message. So it's not that this message is impotent. It's not that Krishna has favors. As we are reading Nectar Devotion, we are having a chance to associate with the Goswami. So when we fall into Maya, It has to do with our own misuse of free will. One say, well, if it's so potent, why do we fall into Maya? Just as when Kala Krishna Das was associating with God himself, he fell into Maya. This is the power of free will. He got distracted by the Vajahari, even though everything was in place for him. Everything that was left, everything to give him the fullest level of realization, Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya, his most merciful form, he was personal associate, personal servant. This is Maya's key. And so as he became loose, even though Lord Chaitanya was there, instead of grabbing on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, grabbing on to Lord Chaitanya's instructions, taking shelter for clarification, no, the Vajrahari, they had this interesting, intriguing activity of attracting young boys by young girls, young girls by young boys. Sometimes you attract, then he was giving so much wonderful blessing, although he was very attached to such. It was his sense of identity, but it was also his sense of identification with material nature. And the devotee of Lord Shiva had to throw away the touchstone.